WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump and Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica, spoke before a crowd of tens of thousands at a memorial at State Farm Stadium in Arizona.
That young man. I forgive him.
President teased what he called a major announcement today.
I think we found an answer to autism. How about that? Autism.
The Washington Post expects the administration to unveil new efforts to link it to Tylenol during pregnancy. France has pledged to vote for recognition of a Palestinian state at the UN General Assembly this week. President Macron tells CBS's Face the Nation.
We'll announce the recognition, but which is the beginning of a political process and a peace and security plan for everybody.
Britain, Australia, Canada, and Portugal all formally recognized statehood yesterday. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. Health experts are reminding folks about Chagas, or kissing bug disease. It's a potentially deadly condition spread through flat orange and black insects that feed on blood at night. And while their bites might go unnoticed, the bugs can carry parasites that infect both humans and animals and can lead to long-term heart and digestive problems if left untreated. Brian Simmons is an infection preventionist at Exemplify. He says some common symptoms and warning signs include fever and achiness.
And some people will get what's called a Romana sign, which is a swollen eyelid. One of the common areas where scratches could occur or infection is having some of that organism get into the eye or a cut near the eye or abrasion of that skin.
Simmons says there are ways to protect yourself.
From potentially being bitten by the kissing bug or being infected by that bug that might be leaving its waste on vegetables and so on, is to clean those raw vegetables. If you're out in the environment, to protect yourself from just like any bug bites.
Chagas has been identified in some states in the Midwest and South, though not Wisconsin yet. A recent report from the CDC says it should be considered endemic in the United States.
Most of these cases that we have seen within the United States in recent years have been occurring in the southern states, such as Texas, California, Arizona, and such.
Here in Wisconsin Rapids, there's a new municipal judge, Stephen Walczak, will fill the position through next April. The city council approved his appointment last week. There will be a special election in April. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman. News anytime at WFHR.com or WIRI.FM.
The Brewers do it again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers are divisional champs of the NL Central. Although they lost yesterday 5-1 to the Cards, the Reds swept the Cubs, so Milwaukee, divisional champs for the third year in a row. Manager Pat Murphy.
Well, just this team finds a way. They're resilient, and they're guys that have a special it factor.
NFL, the Packers shocked by the Browns, losing 13-10 on a walk-off field goal by Cleveland. Defensive end Micah Parsons.
Man, it's like a movie sometimes how football works. I just think towards the end of the game they play better than us, and we got to play all four quarters of football.
College football, the Badgers losing at home to Maryland Saturday, 27-10, and now headed into the bye.
We've got a challenge. I felt like the culture of this team and the things that we did in the offseason and in fall camp was something that was a lot stronger than what we have had. We're going to find out how strong it is. That's where we're going to have to go because this thing doesn't get any easier.
That's head coach Luke Fickle with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog this morning, otherwise more clouds than sun, with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon, highs in the mid-70s. A few lingering showers, perhaps a storm tonight, some patchy fog possible again with lows in the upper 50s. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you.
you're passing through, remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by Professor Howard Schwaber of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We discuss what went down on Friday at the CDC and what that portends for expertise in America. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Monday morning, September 22nd, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or joining us through social media, podcast, however you got here. Great to have you starting your week right here. I got a question for you. What will you do with your final 7 hours of summer? Because we have just about run out of summertime. Fall officially begins at 1:19 this afternoon, our time, when the sun is right over the equator. Though, let's be honest, it already feels like fall for multiple reasons. Well, the Packers are playing, which sometimes breaks our heart. The Badgers are playing, meh. And the Brewers are playing fall baseball once again, which is pretty cool. So we're leaving summer behind, and so let me ask the question another way. What is the best part of fall in Wisconsin? What's your favorite thing about being here? What's your favorite thing to do? You go someplace in particular to see fall colors? Is it about getting to high school football games? Is it some favorite sweatshirts or jackets that you can pull out again? What is it that you like most? We'd love to hear from you about fall in Wisconsin and what makes it so nice. You can put questions or comments to the show all the time, of course, on Facebook and YouTube. That would be the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages and the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages, or use that Civic Media app and either send us a text message or use the voice note feature and send along a little something about what's so great about fall in Wisconsin. Coming up on the program later today, Kelda Royce has been a candidate for governor for 1 week. She will join us at 7:35, talk about why she's running and what she thinks will make her stand out from a growing group of Democrats seeking to be the nominee next year, try to succeed Tony Evers, and keep Republicans from taking over the governor's post. You can follow Up North News by getting our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the top banner. One of the stories today tells you about Wisconsin businesses that are staffed by people living with disabilities. Overall, Wisconsin is coming off back-to-back years of record-high employment rates for workers with disabilities. But keep in mind, that's made possible in large part due to the assistance that people get from Medicaid for health care, therapy, vocational training, and more. And yet, Donald Trump and Republicans have decided to take a meat cleaver to Medicaid. So while you're reading that story in the newsletter today, also get set to hear just after 7 o'clock from Up North News' Selena Heller. And she'll tell you about a Wisconsin mom talking about her adult son and the assistance that Medicaid provides in order to give him some dignity and independence until people like Donald Trump come along who find him to be disposable.
Also back in the newsletter, we've got a link to my story on the current gubernatorial field as we await decisions by Democratic Attorney General Josh Call and Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany. And Tiffany hinting that he may make an announcement on Wednesday of this week. Lot to cover here, so we should ask Parker Olson what he thinks of all of it, since he's producing this wonderful shindig down in Madison at the top of State Street, one block off the Capitol Square, at the world headquarters of Civic Media. Mr. Parker, how are you?
Doing pretty well, Pat. Feeling pretty good. I have worked pretty hard to flush two awful losses on the weekend. That's where I'm
That'd
at.
Be the Packers and the Badgers, I assume.
Packers and the Badgers. You know, mm-hmm. I watched all of the Packer game. Mind you, my uncle is a Browns fan.
Yes.
I have yet to hear a lot from him, which is very good, because I don't need to hear a lot more about that game, I don't
think. Well, I mean, what can you really say, right? I mean,
yeah, you know,
for folks who missed it, the Packers were up. I mean, it wasn't a rout or anything like that, but with 3 minutes left, the Packers are up on the Cleveland Browns 10-3, and they're driving. I mean, it started at about 6 minutes left in the game. So all you got to do is run out the clock.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the word run.
Yeah.
Run out the clock. There's some dumb penalties in there. And then Jordan Love, it was third down, right? So, you know, felt the need to throw. Don't know why. You've been handing it to Josh Jacobs the entire game. Yeah, he throws. He says it's miscommunication with Dontavian Wicks. I'm just saying, why are you throwing on third down like that? And as ugly as it was, the Browns intercept. They score. It's 10-10 now. Still time left. But field goal attempt with 27 seconds left is blocked. A couple of Browns plays later, they try a 55-yard field goal, and it is good. And they win 13-10. Now, you can also blame the offensive line. That, I mean, Jordan Love was sacked, what, five times?
They've got a couple of backups in there.
All kinds of offensive line injuries. I get that. You know, both defenses were very good for this game. And let's see, Tony putting on YouTube, Cleveland's strength is its defensive line. The Packers' weakness is its offensive line.
Yeah.
It was just a bad matchup.
Yeah. Here, the thing for me is that the Packers are due for about two of these kinds of losses every year. So I'm not like raising alarm bells or anything. It's just really frustrating to see it happen really repeatedly under Matt LaFleur, because frankly, it seems like a coaching thing, because it seems like the entire team was sleepwalking through that entire game.
It was boring.
Like, yeah, sorry.
It was boring. We had already planned to go see a movie. So we did not see the very end of it. And
congratulations.
Yes. Thank you very much. That's all Sherry's doing. She's like, it is too early in the season to be sitting down for 3 hours straight, watching a game, sitting on a bar stool. The Brewers are still playing, and so it's tough to get into full Packer mode yet. Fair. It's a nice day out. And so let's go do that. And I was like, yeah, I'm good with that. So we saw this movie called A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey with Colin Farrell and Margot Robbie.
Okay.
You know, complete rom-com, kind of a fantasy rom-com. We'll talk about it later on. But especially, I've got a story about losing something under the seats in a movie theater that...
oh, boy.
You finish your breakfast first before I share the story, trust me. Anyway, so I missed the very end. And I'm very happy about that, because I did see that the Packers had like six and a half minutes left. I'm just like, good, just run it out. We'll be just fine.
Yeah.
And you know as well as I do, we've both said this before, it's one of those games where it's like, well, if they screw up this one, I don't want to be around to see it.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the Packers move on. They will be in Dallas, and that'll be a Sunday night football game next week.
Oh, boy.
So you'll be able to hear that Sunday night game, and you'll be able to hear us sound especially sleep deprived tomorrow or next Monday morning, next week when we're doing this.
You thought the Packers were sleepwalking yesterday? Wait till next Monday when we're sleepwalking through this show.
Badgers, I mean, they can't even say it was sleepwalking. They were just trounced by Maryland 27-10. The score was 20-0 at halftime with the student section chanting fire fickle. Wisconsin is now 15 wins and 15 losses in Luke Fickle's coaching tenure. They have lost 7 in a row now against opponents from the Big Four conferences. The student section, by the way, was virtually empty midway through the fourth quarter.
Oh, the stadium was empty.
And you can't even accuse the fans of being bandwagoners if you're going to play like that. The game was billed before the season started as a chance for Wisconsin quarterback and Maryland transfer Billy Edwards Jr. to face his former team, but Edwards hadn't played since he sprained his knee in the season opener. And so Danny O'Neill threw an interception and was working behind an offensive line featuring 3 redshirt freshmen. So once again, the offensive line was not your friend. So the Badgers have next weekend off. And then, as we've mentioned before, the October schedule has the Badgers visiting Michigan, ranked 21st in the country, hosting Iowa, hosting number 1 Ohio State, and then traveling to 6th-ranked Oregon. So no need to watch those games. You put them on your favorite civic media station and you keep some nice football on in the background, because that's what makes fall in Wisconsin great. Tony puts up on YouTube chopping some wood with a nice breeze off the lake while wearing flannel, sipping a spotted cow while listening to a football game on the radio. Nothing better than that. Amen, Tony. Yeah. That's fall in Wisconsin. But at least there's still baseball. Roger puts on Facebook from Stevens Point, "I never expected the Reds to sweep the Cubs. The Reds may still be in the wild card when they play the Brewers this coming weekend." Yes, the Brewers will be playing Cincinnati in the final homestand of the season later this week. But first, they had to get through the series with the Cardinals. And I believe the Cardinals took 2 out of 3.
Yes, 2 out of 3.
Even after the Brewers lost 5-1, minutes later, after that Cubs loss, the Brewers became your Central Division champions for the 3rd year in a row. So playoff baseball is set, and we're very close. I don't have the magic number in front of me to clinching that first round bye.
I believe 4. I think they already have a first round bye. It's just that they're fighting.
Oh, now it's for home field.
For home field for the entirety. They have to stay ahead of the Phillies to get home field, NL, and World Series if they were to get there.
So there are still things to play for this week, which I always like. Like, look, you can't just be dogging it yet. There's still things to play for. And for the Brewers, that includes heading to San Diego to play the Padres Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Coverage begins this evening at 8:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. So a little West Coast late night baseball for the Brewers for 3 games, then an off day, and then they're back here for the final homestand against the Cincinnati Reds. Freddie Peralta, by the way, is doing the pitching tonight. So there we go. We've got some things to play for, thankfully.
Yeah, and hopefully Brandon Woodruff.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Why did you? Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
No. I'll be the bearer. Here it is. Brandon Woodford, Big Woo, is out for 15 days. He was put on the injured list yesterday, putting his availability for the playoffs in jeopardy. Woodruff just returned this season after a shoulder surgery in October of 2023. He says he felt something funny in his tricep during a bullpen session on Saturday. An initial evaluation traced the issue to a lat in his upper back. And the news, of course, comes just 4 days after left-handed pitcher Jose Quintana went on the 15-day injured list with a left calf strain. So the Brewers have pitching injuries heading into the playoffs. In other news, the sun rose in the east today. So,
you know the meme of the dog sitting on a chair,
sitting and with the fire all around.
Yeah,
saying, this is fine.
That's just how I feel.
Yeah,
everything's okay. Fine.
That's exactly where we are. Yes. We will continue to look forward to throughout the course of the morning, even despite the things we say about the Packers, the Badgers, and the Brewers. What's great about being in Wisconsin during the fall? Because there's a lot that's cool around here. And I'd love to hear what you like to do as we start to celebrate what will eventually be this first day of fall all across our beautiful state. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you're a fan of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the radio, well, let me suggest Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow in your newsletter email box. It's a newsletter we put together with Wisconsin and national political stories that comes out early every Sunday morning. It also includes our question of the week. And this week, the question is, who's to blame if there's another government shutdown? Now, there hasn't been one for a while. They keep kicking the can down the road with these things called continuing resolutions. But it's really starting to look like the middle of next week, there may be a government shutdown for reasons that are explained in the newsletter. So who's to blame? Is it Republicans because they stubbornly don't want to negotiate with Democrats, even though they need Democratic votes to pass a budget? Is it Democrats who should let the Republicans have their way because Republicans are in the majority and they shouldn't be an obstacle? Is it Donald Trump because Mr. Art of the Deal should be able to forge some kind of a deal here? What do you think? The people that get to answer that first and see the question first, sign up for our question of the week. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com and hit subscribe to get our newsletters. You know who else has newsletters? Civic Media, including a new flagship daily newsletter, Civic Media Today. Get signed up for that. Head over to substack.com. The address for the newsletter is civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Tomorrow on the program, Hans Breitenmoser will be along, Cam Stevenson from Washington, D.C., Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be coming up next. Selena Heller not far after that, adding some levity to the program. But before we get to the levity, well, a little bit of seriousness in the news. at least from the standpoint of a political rally that was held yesterday in Phoenix. It was a five-hour rally. Well, I mean, it was billed as a memorial to Charlie Kirk, the right-wing agitator. It was held inside an NFL football stadium, and it featured pretty much every prominent MAGA leader in the country was there. Never have I been so connected to Donald Trump's three favorite words, build that wall. I mean, give away Phoenix, keep everybody there, heal the rest of the country. But it didn't work that way. And the country will not heal based on anything that was said in Phoenix yesterday. Yes, Kirk was eulogized as someone who loved his family and claimed to love his country. And yes, Charlie Kirk's widow did say she forgave her husband's killer. She said, quote, "The answer to hate is not hate." That is not the message that people are taking away from the Hollywood level production that went on, especially when the president of the United States took to the stage and gave a rambling 45-minute diatribe that contained this nugget. "I hate my opponents, and I don't want what's best for them. Sorry, Erica." It's okay. Here's the thing. If Trump were the one who had been assassinated and Charlie Kirk were speaking, that quote would not be different by a single word, knowing those two men as much as we do. Now, the president bounced around between honoring Kirk and promoting his own political agenda. He said, for example, an announcement was coming on Monday about autism, which, trust me, will not be rooted in medical science. He talked about sending troops to Chicago, yes, at a memorial service. He talked about the tariffs he'd slapped on foreign countries, the reasons why prices are higher than they were last year when he was promising to lower prices on day one. Remember that? And as he kept getting more political, people were leaving the arena by the hundreds. He told all of the usual lies. Anyone who opposes him must be a, quote, aid agitator. He said he was sicking the Department of Justice on a so-called, quote, network of radical left maniacs who fund, organize, fuel, and perpetuate political violence, end quote. Keep in mind, he dismantled the part of the Department of Justice that was going after the real cause of political violence in this country, of course, coming from the far right. After all, how many of the January 6th insurrectionists are now hiding behind those masks in those deportation raids? There was a great effort by Trump and the others to turn Charlie Kirk into some kind of a martyr, maybe even a saint. Make no mistake, he was neither. And frankly, the window has closed on any chance that Charlie Kirk will be remembered fondly. Here's why. If his murder had come without the vitriol from Donald Trump and the promises of vengeance from people like Derek Van Orden, then maybe in a quieter environment, there would have been time for people who didn't know Charlie Kirk to get some kind of whitewashed version of the things he said and the things he stood for. But the bloodthirsty rhetoric and the shrieking bombast coming from Trump and Vance and Van Orden and some of the speakers in Phoenix only ensured that more Americans are going to make sure that Charlie Kirk's legacy does not get the undeserved opportunity to be romanticized. We've already illustrated the parallels between Derek Van Orden and another Wisconsin demagogue, Joseph McCarthy. In a similar fashion, what happened in Phoenix on Sunday was reminiscent of the rallies that used to be held by Father Charles Coughlin against the policies of President Franklin Roosevelt. Charles Coughlin was the Rush Limbaugh of his time, with a national radio audience in the tens of millions. He used the term social justice, but his positions are more in line with what was being seen in the rise of fascism around the world. Eventually, the man whose angry views were for a time embraced in big audiences on the radio and at rallies was seen for what he was and is now mostly forgotten. That will be Charlie Kirk. Those of us who've known of his words and his work for years before most Americans, we will help keep the history books on the straight and narrow. And the rally in Phoenix may as well have been held behind a wall. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up, and today's history lesson all in just a moment. First, the Midwest Farm Report here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
We've had an exceptional year for cool season perennial grasses due to plenty of rainfall timed during the summer slump. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you for the Midwest Farm Report, and we're going to be talking with some pasture experts after this.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Jason Cavadini joins us. He's a grazing outreach specialist with the Division of Extension. He says this year has offered some of the best forage growth he's seen in a decade. Even more good news, September and October tend to be the best parts of the pasture's growing season.
It's just been an exceptional year for cool season perennial grasses. There's multiple reasons for that. We've had plenty of rainfall, and it's kind of been timed. So, like, typically, we think of cool season grasses, especially as we hear this term summer slump. This year, that was timed up with plenty of rainfall. And so the summer slump was pretty minor.
Extension grazing specialist Jason Cavadini says it's crucial to keep grasses and legumes in a leafy growing state, and that means managing mature growth carefully. You can find the full interview at MidwestFarmReport.com. I've got more agribusiness news coming your way.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we're always tuned in to what you're listening to. If you missed a big story, don't worry, we've got your back. Here are the top five most listened to stories from this past week. At number five, from $5 to 35,000 mums, the blooming success of Honeymoon Acres. At number four, tips and tricks to keep ticks off your back. Number three, a new bill aims to help beginning farmers find land. At number two, cattle producers are urging folks to speak up against a proposed fee hike. And the number one most listened to story of the week, livestock markets also push back against what they're calling an excessive fee increase. Stick with us for more of the stories that matter most right here on the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog this morning, otherwise more clouds than sun, with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon, highs in the mid-70s. A few lingering showers, perhaps a storm tonight. Some patchy fog possible again with lows in the upper 50s. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we get to know one candidate for Secretary of State, another for the state Senate District number 17, all coming up. Join us.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Today's history lesson begins with a factual error, courtesy of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Today is not. That was last night, but we're off the 21st night of September, and so we just thought we'd throw that out there from this Earth, Wind, and Fire song from 1978. Why did they pick the 21st night of September? They said, no reason.
Just
the line
well.
Just sounded good. Yeah. Yep. Just for fun.
I was definitely singing that song all day yesterday because it makes people happy.
I am sure you were. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here now.
It's a good vibe.
Because if there's somebody that's liable to sing in a car for a long drive, it's her.
Or Marcelina Heller, who is
here as well now. So who also makes her share of long drives. So,
yeah, I do.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you all here. It's funny. I could have gone with that based on the calendar. I could have just as easily gone with we're doing the TV debuts, and if ever there were a theme song that would have worked, it would have been this one from a show that debuted on this day in 1994. Anybody remember the group? Kristen clapping just like you. That'd be the Rembrandts, who I guess had already broken up at that point and then realized they could make more money if they got back together now that one of their songs had been picked up by NBC for
That's
this
smart.
New TV show that debuted 31 years ago today.
Convenient.
Good morning, Whiskers. Nice to see you taking up the entire camera again.
He just got a bath last night. He's really soft and smells really good.
Let's see, TV debuts. Oh, let me go in reverse order here. 1999 on this day, The West Wing debuted on NBC. 1987, Full House debuted on ABC.
That's that old?
1987, yeah.
Could we reboot The West Wing?
Could we reboot The West Wing? It has been kind of rebooted if your algorithm is set up in such a way. Because that's my TikTok is like, it's West Wing clips all the time. And it's fun to getting to the point where I'm like, I don't know if I watched those ones, you know? I mean, I definitely watched seasons 1 through 4, but I may have missed some of the later ones here.
I'd love to see your algorithm, Pat.
Yep.
It's all Get Ready With Me and YouTube, West Wing.
Let's see. 1982 marked the NBC premiere of Family Ties with Michael J. Fox. That goes, now we're really going back. And I'll give you one more. Charlie's Angels debuted on ABC this day in 1976.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the movie reboots with like Drew Barrymore and Lucy
Cameron
Liu
Diaz?
And Cameron Diaz?
No.
Did not? Okay.
No.
I really liked the first. I did. The first one was very campy. I liked it. Then it kind of went off the deep end after that.
I remember arguing with my friends in grade school about which angel I was.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm because your you know hair it was darker.
Like well, it was like a boy band thing, you know, like you identified with one of them, so it was like, well, am I more Brie, like more smart and practical, or more like, you know, like Farrah Fawcett's character who had the cool car and the hair? These were complicated issues.
These are the important questions in life.
Your questions were like, which one are you? And ours were more in the, you know, Ginger versus Marianne, you know, Betty versus Veronica, Monica, you know. Anyway, let's see. Does anybody have a birthday that they would want to wish a happy birthday to coming up or just had one?
My son's girlfriend's birthday was yesterday, which is part of the reason that I was singing that song all day long because I kept calling her and bugging her. Happy birthday, Rachel.
You're ready.
All right. Well, here you go. girlfriend's name?
Rachel.
Dear Rachel. The reason that's there is that it was on this day 10 years ago in 2015 that the Happy Birthday song's copyright was ruled no longer valid, putting the song into the public domain. And I remember that well for the first like decades of our radio career. You know, you could not just play the Happy Birthday song willy-nilly because it was licensed like anything else.
Oh, I've got another one. Can I shout out another birthday?
Sure.
Mrs. Marnie Sanderfoot, who teaches special ed at Kakana High School on September 20th. It was her birthday.
My sister's was. Mine is this week. How about that?
Wait, yours is this week?
Well, there we go. Yeah.
Burying the lead here. Okay. And so when?
Saturday.
Okay. All right. Saturday. Look at that. She's...
She can't make a live appearance for it. Dang it.
I know.
No, I can.
We don't know your age. We're not going to ask. I just know it's not as old as Tony Basil because today is her birthday and she's 82 years old today.
What?
Yeah.
That's impossible. She's always in high school.
This will never be in high school.
This does not sound like an 82-year-old.
No, does not. But she,
she'd been performing
a long time, doing a lot of choreography, mostly things like that. I remember seeing a story about her a couple of years back. Still very active. Yeah.
Whoa.
Let's see. David Coverdale is 74 years old today. He fronted Deep Purple from 1973 to 1976, and then formed his own band, Whitesnake. Yeah, and David Coverdale is 74 today.
Does this make you want to like dance on the hood of somebody's car?
Again, we're coming back to characters that you know are associated with. perhaps so. Happy birthday to Debbie Boone. She is 69 years old today and had the hit of 1977.
Nice.
So many nights I'd sit by.
We're not like, holding this all the way through. You Light Up My Life. But that's the song if you're not familiar with it.
Oh, if there was an audio definition of the word schmaltz, that would be it.
That would be it, yes. Schmaltz. And yet it was number one for like half the year of 1977. Mm-hmm. And that, if anybody goes, how is it that disco was able to make inroads? Well, that's what we were living that's with was the mid-decade era of soft rock. And we were ready for anything after that. So disco... Come on in through the door. By the way, Debbie Boone's dad, Pat Boone, who we've mentioned frequently on this segment, still with us at age 91.
Put out a hard rock album to counter all the soft rock.
Well, yeah, hard rock, whatever. Andrea Bocelli, the Italian singer-songwriter, is 67. Joan Jett was born the same day. She is 67 years old today. Think you were more of a Joan Jett person or a Tony Basil person, you know, with the poppy preppy cheerleader stuff, or more Joan Jett?
I think I was probably more Tony Basil, but I wanted to be more Joan Jett.
Joan Jett had joined the music scene as a guitarist for an all-girl punk band called The Runaways, and later would form Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Their debut album was turned down by the first 23 record labels they approached, even though it included this song, which would become a number two hit.
She was like 14 or 15 when she joined the Runaways. I mean, they were children.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ah. Babies. Let's see. On this day in 1975, Sarah Jane Moore tried to assassinate President Gerald Ford. And this was only 17 days after Lynette Squeaky Fromm also fired a gun at Gerald Ford. Both missed. Moore was an accountant, Sarah Jane Moore, and said she wanted to spark a violent revolution to bring change to America. She was given a life sentence. She was released from prison at the end of 2007 after serving 32 years. She is still around at age 95, Sarah Jane Moore, whose claim to fame happened 50 years ago today. On this day in 2003, during the auditions for the third season of American Idol, we got to meet somebody named William Hung.
Oh, boy. Mm.
She bangs. Oh, baby, when she moves. I go crazy because she looks like a fly, but she stings like a bee. Like every girl in history,
A very lively but finally bad rendition of the Ricky Martin hit. And you sometimes you hear something and you go, I think the producers just killed their own show with that. And
no, I that was helped wrong. The show a lot.
I was totally wrong. People just, they loved, couldn't get enough.
Made you smile.
It did. Yeah. So there you go. Let's see, on a more serious political note here, it was on this day 6 years ago that a U.S. intelligence officer made an official complaint about a call made by then President Donald Trump to the Ukrainian president. Trump acknowledged on this day that he did talk about withholding American military aid in an extortion bid to get Volodymyr Zelensky to investigate Joe Biden's son, Hunter. Why did the intelligence officer report this call? Because it was wrong. It was criminal activity, and Congress impeached him for it, but enough Senate Republicans got him off the hook because they chose to condone criminal extortion against a nation under attack. In a somewhat related note, on this day in 1970, President Richard Nixon requested 1,000 new FBI agents to surveil college campuses. All right, let's get to the national day calendar today. Of course, we got the fall equinox. We mentioned that coming up later this afternoon. Today is National Ice Cream Cone Day.
Yes. So
that's a good
day. Go around the horn here. Ice cream cones, you get one flavor. What are you getting, Selena?
Ooh, probably I would like a mint Oreo.
Mint Oreo, Parker?
Do we get toppings?
No, it's an ice cream cone. What's going in the cone?
Well, all right, fine. We'll just do vanilla.
Oh, really?
Parker giving the most Parker answer. Yeah, you're right.
Sure. You have to wonder, at what point am I just leaning into it?
Yep. Uh-huh. Kristen?
Oh, that's hard. You know, it's always, I'm that person who stands in front of the counter and just can't make a decision, but I do love it.
I'm getting
a
that impression
Oreo.
Now, yes. So what are, so what
let's
are we
talk
going
about
with?
The cone. I mean, is it just is it a cake cone?
That's
is
a good
it
point.
A waffle cone?
Does it have the chocolate on the
inside? I've got 9 o'clock if you want to wait to answer this thing. I mean,
we could spend
love,
2 hours.
Like, chocolate peanut butter. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a mood thing.
Tony, I'm surprised Parker didn't put lettuce in his cone.
Ew.
Maybe the bottom.
Oh,
plain. The correct answer, of course, is Haagen-Dazs Belgian chocolate. You'll thank me later. Today is Elephant Appreciation Day and also World Rhinoceros Day. Why does the elephant and the rhino have to share a day? It's a big calendar. I don't know who decides these things. It's apparently National Hobbit Day because both Bilbo and Frodo Baggins have birthdays today.
Do we get two breakfasts?
Could be. Yeah. It is still Build a Better Breakfast
second
Month.
Breakfast.
You know how to build a better breakfast? Have two of them.
Okay.
Exactly. Today is Eye Health Week, and it's also Glucose Awareness Week, and it's Rosh Hashanah for the Jewish New Year. So all of that on there, eye health or glucose awareness. Kristen, you have any words of wisdom from a doctor's standpoint on those?
Yeah, a lot of people do not have healthy glucose levels and don't know it because you can't feel it, which is why it's really important to do your routine preventive care as you get older and have those levels checked. If your glucose is high, we can treat it and we can ward off heart disease and lots of other ugliness down the road. So routine preventive care, my friends. Same thing for eye disease.
Very nice. And Tony puts on YouTube, my kids are hobbits. They always eat first and second breakfast.
There you go.
It fits. And just a little bit, Selena Heller is going to have a story for us about a Wisconsin mom talking about her adult son and what these upcoming drastic cuts to Medicaid would do to his dignity and independence. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the one-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for the September 19th, 2025. Have your host, James, here, and we're joined right now by our friend, Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston, Wisconsin State District 24 Representative. Sir, how you doing?
I'm doing great, James. I'm actually on a job site today, doing one of my on-the-jobs.
Fantastic. Oh, you know what? Let's wrap up talking about that. I want to hear more about it, but we got a couple of other things to get to. And certainly, you know, we get to talk once a month, so oftentimes we are kind of rewinding a little bit and catching up on things. And I wanted to go back just a little bit ago. Last month, you were invited to take a tour of both of the former Wisconsin Rapids paper mill site and the Consolidated Water Power Company. What were some of the things you saw and your take from that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's sort of a bittersweet going through what used to be the crown jewel of papermaking here and all of North America, seeing, you know, essentially what was once the largest paper machines in the entire country be taken apart piece by piece and loaded on the shipping containers and sent over to a company in India. But, you know, it was actually really insightful being able to sit down myself, Representative Scott Krug, to meet with Bill Rude, who owns the property. And, you know, I do think there's opportunity for future development there. And so we've had very successful conversations and working with the power company to hopefully entice new opportunities that could be extremely transformative, not just for the Wisconsin Rapids area, but all of central Wisconsin.
When it comes to this, we certainly, you know, take it with a bit of a heavy heart, because we know how much the buildings, they mean to people, the industries mean to people.
At the same time, we don't do anybody any favors just being, you know, melancholy about it or sad about it. We have to keep looking forward. And that's, I mean, that's the motto of this state. So when it comes to that, we're seeing some encouraging things. We had Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt in earlier this week, and we were talking about that. And I'm looking forward to seeing more and more what's being able, what will be able to be done with that. And I think when it comes to the legacy of the mills in this area and honoring those, I think the best way we can do that is keeping this town, you know, afloat, if you will. Not to be blunt about it, but I think that that's a big part of keeping this legacy going.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I still think there's always going to be a place within Wisconsin for paper manufacturing. In fact, you know, in this last state budget that the governor had signed into law, you know, we put aside $42 million to for Domtar for the redevelopment of the dam up in Rothschild. And as a result of that, they're going to be committing over $100 million of investment in their Rothschild as well as the Nakusa mills, and going to be sourcing much of their fiber from Wisconsin timber producers, which is a win-win for the state. And, you know, it's those types of partnerships that we've been able to foster over the last several years that, you know, are going to ensure that these mills remain viable moving forward. Now, it's not to say there won't always be some bumps in the road, but going back to the Wisconsin Rapids mill site, I do think there's a lot of potential there. And so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. And as we've done throughout this entire process, it's been a lot of partnerships at both the local, state, and federal level. And, you know, we're I'm rather optimistic about the future of that site.
Most of us, you know, we all live in bubbles to a degree. And when you live in an area, you tend to just see what's going on in your area. I don't blame locals for this, but I do think that it's a good idea to take a bigger perspective sometimes. Our area, when it comes to businesses and whether it's big or small, we've been pretty fortunate here in central Wisconsin compared to some other cities and other parts of the state that haven't seen maybe some of that influx or some of those new businesses. There are some real potential here for that. And we're not the only ones seeing that. There's a lot of businesses out there that are.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that just goes to show, I mean, even when, you know, back in 2020, when the initial announcement came down that the mill was going to idle, it was certainly a gut punch for everyone within the area. But, you know, I think it's also a testament to that diversification that we've seen in recent years within the greater Wisconsin Rapids area, as well as central Wisconsin, where, you know, I think initially there were concerns that we are going to see a lot about migration, but that hasn't happened. And so I think that's a really strong sign that people are committed to this region of the state. And so long as we have individuals who are willing to come to the table to have meaningful conversations and work together, it just goes to show that we're in a really good spot right now.
Also last month, one of the committees that you chair, the Senate Committee on Agriculture and Revenue, held a public hearing on several legislative proposals. Would you mind kind of going over that a little bit, highlights of that, if you will, and some of those important proposals?
Yeah. My committee, I chair the Agriculture and Revenue Committee. And so a couple of weeks ago, we held a public hearing. It was primarily on things like tax cuts, or not tax cuts, but tax credits. Various tax credits dealing with things like child care and, again, doing what we can to, you know, really help families with the high cost of child care. And obviously, again, going back to the state budget, we made some significant investments there. Although I would argue, I think we still have to think outside the box to help this industry move along and really address the areas of things like creating more slots for parents, and then also trying to do what we can to address the compensation for early childhood educators, which, you know, it's a really tough job. And I know I've mentioned this in the past that, you know, I've done one of my jobs at the UWSP Child Care Center, and I give those individuals a lot of credit because after about 8 hours of having wood blocks and Legos tossed at pretty rambunctious toddlers, it gives you a whole new perspective that, you know, doing that job for 12, 13 bucks an hour when you could easily go to a place like Quick Trip and start off at 18 or 19 bucks an hour. It's tough. And so some of these tax credits we're hoping will incentivize individuals to go into this profession, as well as helping families with the high cost of childcare around the state.
Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to, I mentioned the newsletter where you can find a lot of this information. Sign up for that newsletter. It's a great way to keep up to date and all the things the senator is up to, and also these bills and the details of them. Be informed, everybody, and get informed about these bills and how they impact us and how important they are in our area. Recently, you and our friend Representative Scott Krug participated in a press conference where you introduced legislation allowing for the construction and operation of community solar facilities here in Wisconsin. One of the bigger topics we've had as far as solar power and talking about this, and we've had some recent, but some other, you know, conversations about solar power in this.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump remembered the late Charlie Kirk at a packed memorial at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona.
He led boldly and he argued brilliantly without apology.
Kirk's widow, Erica, said she has forgiven her husband's assassin. President Trump teased a major announcement on autism today. Washington Post says officials will tie it to pregnant women who take Tylenol. Major medical groups have dismissed that claim. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder is worried.
One of the things that concerns me is unintended side effects of this. So will women end up taking other medications like aspirin or ibuprofen during pregnancy? Those actually can be dangerous.
Today, France is expected to join the growing list of countries recognizing Palestinian statehood. President Macron tells CBS's Face the Nation.
Recognizing a Palestinian state today is the only way to provide a political solution to a situation which has to stop.
CBS News.